Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is great to have you as we slip into our 5 o'clock hour this Thursday afternoon. I know a lot of football fans are eagerly awaiting the release of the NFL schedule. Again, everyone calm down. Games don't start for another 6 months still, and we have other things going on that are bigger than the NFL schedule release media phenomenon. Sharks go at it tonight with Edmonton playoffs. Warriors were at it last night, looking fantastic, taking a 2-0 lead on Portland with another game where you can pick and choose what went right, what went wrong. And the Warriors, whatever was going right or wrong, just looked great. They're the better team. There's no doubt about it. Performances from the bench, performances that were unexpected. No performance from Kevin Durant, who was benched. No problem there. It looks like the right move was made when you win that convincingly. Steve Kerr is brought to us by Stevens Creek Toyota in San Jose. It's where the deals are, and we'll remind you again that all of our Warrior guests sound better if you're wearing JBL wireless headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors, and 95.7 The Game. Truth is, though, Steve, you could have been listening to the game with the old tin can and a string, it would have sounded good last night. That was a much improved performance from game one. You got to be sitting around really happy with what you saw.
Oh, yeah, it was great. I mean, the defense was tremendous. That was the main thing. I mean, we didn't really play that well offensively. But, you know, each series is different. Each opponent is different. And I think you have to try to pinpoint exactly what it needs to be done in order to win a game. And that's what the playoffs are about. And I thought our team did a good job of adjusting from game one and taking care of business last night.
Yeah, before we move on to game three and kind of recap game two, we have to ask you how Kevin is feeling today. Does it feel like it's going to be a game time decision again on Saturday?
Yeah, well, we'll see tomorrow. I mean, we did not practice today. I haven't seen him. So we'll check in tomorrow. We have practice in the morning and then we're heading to Portland tomorrow afternoon. So, you know, it's just a day-by-day thing, and it's really hard to speculate, you know, so we'll see how he's feeling and go from there.
Did you have to sell Durant on the rest, or was he easily convinced it's the right thing to do?
He knew it was the right thing to do, but he was unbelievably frustrated. You know, you can imagine he just missed 6 weeks, and then he comes back and plays in the first playoff game, gets 32 points and 10 boards, has a huge game, and all of a sudden he's, you know, back on the bench again. So he's frustrated, but he knows it's the right call, and we can't mess around. You know, he's got to be fully healthy before we bring him back. We just can't risk it.
You know how you can tell how good some of your players are? They can put up a 32-point night, and we still look at it like it was a quiet night. It was a quiet 32. It's just so – I think we're mistakenly using the word quiet for at times effortless.
Especially KD. You know, it seems to me that when Steph or Clay get 32, there's usually kind of some fireworks involved. You know, maybe three or four threes in a row during a quarter, and the place goes nuts, but – KD, it just kind of happens. And actually, some of my favorite games from KD this year were when, you know, Steph and Clay were going nuts and everybody was going crazy. And then you kind of look at the box score at the end of the night and he's like 8 for 12, you know, 6 for 6 from the line. And, you know, you got 24 points and you're like, I didn't even realize he had 24. But, you know, that's how talented he is. He just scores and he does it so easily that sometimes it doesn't draw that much attention.
Warrior head coach Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. And, you know, there's been an awful lot of hot takes going around this morning, Coach, about how the Warriors, they're better off without Kevin Durant. Like, just stop. You know, it's easier, I think, to get past Portland without Kevin, but there's going to be some hurdles coming up where you're going to be very happy he's there. But looking at it, I mean, he really is a luxury item that for anyone else, any other team, might be irreplaceable. You guys have the talent to make him temporarily replaceable. And when we really look at the Warriors, you know, there's a DNA of championship that runs through this team that he came here to be a part of. I look at him right now as someone who is seeking efficiency in the rest of his career. And, you know, this isn't the most efficient basketball team in the world. As he sits around looking at this team succeed without him, do you think he reconsiders his place on this team at all?
No, not at all. I think it's probably frustrating for him to hear, you know, all this stuff about do they need him and, you know, all that stuff. That has to be frustrating. He's human, and he's one of the top few basketball players in the whole world. So we're obviously way better with him. But the fact is we have a deep team and we have something that's already been established, you know, the last few years without him. And so we're able to thrive, you know, without a number of players. And that's the beauty of it. We got great depth, and it's you know, whether it's, you know, Clay being out or Draymond or Steph or KD, we can keep winning. And that's great. It's just a testament to our defense and the depth of the talent that we have. And the great thing about KD is that, you know, he wants to be a part of it. That's why he came here. You know, he wanted to be part of something special and a group of guys who are committed to each other and like our guys are. And it's pretty fun. It's pretty awesome. And I think he's enjoying the process every day. Then you kind of have to just, like, you know, block everything else out and not listen to it.
In terms of things you'd bet on, things you wouldn't bet on, how much would you bet on the fact JaVale McGee will be your halftime scoring leader of game two of any round of the playoffs? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that was not something we planned on. But, yeah, he's had such a great year. He's provided so much energy and force, you know, off the bench. And really the center position has been, I don't want to say a surprise, but a real source of strength for us this year. And it's really mapped out well, just, you know, playing that center spot by committee. When you think about, you know, what Zaza does for us, starting the game, setting screens, you know, being physical defensively, but totally changes the look with the lob and the speed. Then you get David West, who comes in and just picks people apart from the elbows, you know, great passing, legitimate, tough guy, you know, physical presence, rebounder. And so to be able to throw all those guys out there at one position for, you know, 12, 15 minutes apiece, you get different looks, you get great energy because they're not playing huge minutes. And each guy has really committed himself to, you know, to that role, and it's great to see.
It is great to see. Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. It was also great to see all the regular season investment in Patrick McCaw pay off so much in game two. Is he's basically scratched in game one. I know he got on the court, but didn't even log a minute in the box score. He looked like a guy who learned an awful lot and put it out in front of us. The way he stayed in front of Dame Lillard is something to be commended. He was awesome last night.
He really was. And, you know, that's really the strength of Patrick's game is his defensive versatility, his speed, his length. He's a guy who's developed so much over the course of the year. And I give a lot of credit to our coaching staff. Willie Green has done a really good job with him, spending time with him after every game, but also his teammates, you know, Andre, Draymond, David West, they provide such great mentoring, for him. And I think he's really learned a lot about the NBA game, and it showed last night. I mean, it's not easy to play an NBA playoff game as a rookie and make that kind of impact.
I thought the single most amazing thing of last night's game, beyond JaVale's efficiency, some of the big, I call them Richter scale shots that really get Oracle rocking. You know, you can probably measure that thing geographically if enough shots go down. The Oracle loves a three-pointer more than any other building in the world. But the single most amazing thing about game two is that Draymond Green didn't get a tech. I mean, he filled out, Steve, the how to get a tech form in duplicate for Scott Foster, who we all know has a nice quick whistle. But for whatever reason, he didn't get one last night. It feels like a miracle.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time over in that corner with Scott discussing that last play. And I think Scott showed good restraint, and I think Draymond showed good restraint, too, in terms of what he was saying and how he was saying it. I think Draymond's gotten better with that. You know, he's he's still going to play with an edge, and he better. You know, we need him to. But I think he's made strides in terms of, you know, not crossing that line and getting that tech and or getting that flagrant, whatever it is, but still playing at an extremely high level. So it's a great sign.
Can you update us on Livingston and Matt Barnes heading into Game 3?
Well, both guys are on a good path, and I saw Sean briefly today, but you know, we'll know more tomorrow. I saw Matt as well. He was about to get on the floor. I haven't talked to him since he finished his work on the floor. So we'll get an update tomorrow from both guys. But the good thing is they're both trending well. And you know, if not Game 3, I would think it'll be, you know, pretty soon thereafter.
I was surprised to do a little research to find that last year in the playoffs, you dumped every Game 3. All four of them, Game 3 losses. Did you even realize that before I just asked you about it?
I found out last night from, I guess it was Dan Martinez, our PR guy, and Raymond Ritter, the two of them, shared with me that we are 2-6 in Game 3s in the last 2 years. So I definitely reminded the guys immediately that for whatever reason, this has been the tricky game for us, and this is the one we want to get, you know, going up there to Portland. Obviously, we're in a great position, but I know how the playoffs work. Things change pretty quickly, and all it takes is one game. And so we want to go up there and keep that edge and you know, really try to take control of the series.
Moda Center, Schmoda Center. That's still the Rose Garden.
That place is great. I played there 1 year, you know, with the Blazers late in my career. And very similar to Oracle in terms of a great home crowd. People in Portland love the team. It's always loud, and you know that atmosphere is fantastic. And you know it's in Rockets Game 3, so you're going to have to be ready.
Steve, how important was it for you to be the good guy in the Jailblazer locker room?
You didn't have so much fun with that dysfunction. It was one of the most exciting years of my career.
Well, hey, man, it was a fantastic performance in Game 2. While this team's not even clicking on all cylinders, it's just another example of how spoiled with great basketball we are. Congratulations to you and your staff for such a good start. We look forward to Game 3, which I believe is scheduled for sometime early next month. A lot of time off here in the first round.
You know, and that's how it goes in the NBA, but that's all right. Right now, it probably helps us with the injuries we've got.
It sure does. Steve, thanks so much, man. Always great to talk to you. Good luck up in Portland. We're looking forward to Game 3.
All right. Thanks, Damon.
Thank you. Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. You guy's great. All right. I know a lot of people have been waiting. And normally, we would sit here reacting to what Steve Kerr just had to say, but it is officially time. Are you feeling it? Are you feeling it? I feel like we should start with the 49ers schedule just to sort of let the Las Vegas Raiders know where they are ranked on this show of importance going forward. But I've had more Raider fans ask me for the schedule today than 49er fans, so we will now take care of them first. The Raiders 2017 regular season schedule, as you might have heard today, does begin on the road in Tennessee. Week 1, they're at the Tennessee Titans. Sunday, September 17th, in Week 2, their home opener is against the New York Jets. They then go to the Redskins, to the Broncos, before coming home for 3 games in a row, Ravens, Chargers, Chiefs. They're at the Buffalo Bills, Sunday, October 29th, 10 a.m. They're at the Miami Dolphins. It's a 5:30 start. Looks like that's a Sunday night game. Is that what that is against the Dolphins? Is that a Sunday night 5:25 game? Bye week. The New England Patriots, obviously that game is taking place in Mexico. It's a home game. They'll then play actual home games against the Broncos and the New York Giants. They go to the Kansas City Chiefs on December 10th. They come home and will host the Dallas Cowboys. That'll be maybe the last regular season game at the Coliseum, because I just don't see how anyone's going to let them stay for the next 3 years with the nonsense that they're pulling. They will end their year on the road in Philadelphia and down in Los Angeles taking on the Chargers. So there is the Raiders' schedule. I would like to know how many of these are, first of all, the word that I do not see, except for a Monday, December 25th game, is that's the only time they play on Monday night. They play one Monday night game all year, and it's not until the second to last week of the year. So that's when the team that used to be the Kings of Monday Night will appear on Monday Night Football, coming off a great season. You won't even see him until week 16 on Monday Night Football. Of these Sunday night 5:30 starts at Washington, again, I don't even, you know, all these times are Pacific. So yeah, 5:30, that feels like a Sunday night game. The Sunday, November 5th game at Miami also feels like a Sunday night game. So it looks like they could be doing Sunday night a couple of times. And then one Monday night game. That is your Raiders schedule. Titans, Jets, Redskins, Broncos, Ravens, Los Angeles Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs, at the Bills, at the Dolphins, bye week, Patriots, Broncos, Giants, Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles, Chargers. For the 49ers, the Niners will be starting at home. The first game of the Kyle Shanahan era, the Shanahaniest of all the Shanahans. First game of the Kyle Shanahan era. Home against Carolina on Sunday, September 10th. The first road game of the Kyle Shanahan era is week two, and it's at Seattle. They then come home to take on the Rams. Then the Niners go on the road for four out of 5 weeks at Arizona, at Indianapolis, at Washington. Dallas comes to the Bay Area twice. They're going to be at Levi's Stadium on Sunday, October 22nd. At Philadelphia on Sunday, October 29th. By the way, this Niners schedule that I got in my hand comes with no start times. I would imagine they're not going to be on Monday night or Sunday night football, maybe even once, because the Niners, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, that's right, suck right now. So Dallas gets here on October 22nd. Then you go to Philadelphia. You host Arizona on November 5th. You host the New York Giants versus Seattle, at Chicago December 3rd, at Houston December 10th. You come home against Tennessee, Jacksonville, and then you play the LA Rams. By week 15, it could be another year that is more about draft positioning than anything else. I don't see a single Thursday night game. No, pardon me. One Thursday night game for the Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs. No Thursday night game. No, there is one for the 49ers, too. Everyone gets one Thursday night game. The Niners play one Thursday night game. That's against the Rams in week three. We got one Thursday night game for sure for the Raiders. That's home against Kansas City. That should be a fun one. Hey, the fewest amount of Thursday night games you can have, no Thursday night games would be beautiful. I hate Thursday night football. The NFL players hate Thursday night football. And there you go. What's amazing is the amount of people who are dying for us to release the NFL schedule. Can you please give it to us as fast? Well, you don't have a phone? You don't have a phone in your pocket? You can look the stuff up yourself. Oh, well, you might be driving. You're right. You don't want to go ahead. But there are red lights. There are red lights all over this town. I ran into a few of them today on my way in. So there you go. Football is underway. More important than the schedule, though, for either of these teams, for all of these teams, is what they need in the draft right now. The draft is happening next Thursday. Is that when it starts? Is it next Thursday or is it the Thursday after that? I think it's next Thursday. Yes. So, draft needs, 49ers, Raiders. I think both teams start on defense. The Raiders damn well better start on defense. Oakland lost 1,500-plus defensive snaps from last season. And right now, they got a linebacking core of Ben Heaney and Terrell Adams, who didn't register a single stat in six games last year. So there are other backups, but they need linebackers. The Raiders need linebackers. The Raiders need linebackers. And did I mention that they also need linebackers? A guy like Temple's Hassan Reddick might be there. Florida's Alex Anzalone, he might be there. Linebacker. If the Raiders drafted four of them, that would be cool. When it comes to what the Niners need, well, the Niners need everything, don't they? They've spent the last 2 years, the last two, drafting defensive linemen with the very first round, with their first pick, and it might happen again this year. If they do draft Solomon Thomas out of Stanford, the only thing I can promise you is you're going to have a lot of fans calling him Solomon Torres out of habit the very next day. Did you hear they drafted Solomon Torres? Meanwhile, San Francisco Giants fans are going to have like, no, don't do that. Solomon Thomas is the kid who is at Stanford. He's a very, very good interior lineman. The Niners certainly got to do something to stop this run. So, yeah, let's see what they got. They could use an edge rusher, too. Aaron Lynch, he's pretty much all they got until we see DeForest Buckner or Eric Armstead actually become something. 888-957-9570, Lamont in Oakland on the NFL schedule. How are you, Lamont?
I'm good. I'm just sitting up here like thinking to myself, why are they always dogging the Raiders out with this schedule? They got us going to Buffalo, then we got to go to Miami, and then we got to turn around and go to Mexico. I mean, Aaron already took our home game from us, and then they don't want to give us at least another Monday night. They want to give us a Thursday night against in a divisional game. I mean, it just I don't know what's going on. Well, I know why they're doing this.
Well, look, I mean, first of all, it's just your rotation to play the AFC East. So that's what half of that is. And when it comes to that game in Mexico, look, Mark Davis has to say yes to whatever the NFL tells him to do. And he'll have to say yes to a few things, like that game in Mexico, that absolutely put his team at a competitive disadvantage. He is doing all he can with relocation to ruin the Raiders' atmosphere in Oakland. And the biggest game of the year will be played in Mexico City. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Mark. Excuse me. Great job. Super bang-up job. Way to look at what is the best interest of you. Here's the thing. Watch the Raiders piss away the best team they've had with a whole bunch of relocation issues hanging over everything they do over the next 3 years, which, by the way, is the window of any NFL team not named the Patriots right now. That's it. That's all you get. So have fun with that. The chances of the Raiders showing up to Vegas like a 5-6-win football team, Derek Carr's another serious injury away from that happening. 888-957-9570. We have a schedule. We have a playoff game. We have Scar, but no Donskoy. Not tonight. He's a scratch. They're not dressing him. He's not dressing for tonight, unfortunately. No Donskoy. Should be a really interesting game, though, tonight for the Sharks. You tell me that they won 6-0, I'd believe you. If you told me that they went down 3-0, if you told me the Sharks won in a landslide offensive shootout, I'd believe you. If you told me that they got shut out, I'd believe you. I have no idea what to expect from them in Edmonton tonight. I don't think anyone really does. The chances of them getting 4 power plays, much less a franchise record 4 power play goals, not exactly strong to very strong, but hey, it could happen. And they did play the kind of game that made you think, maybe they can do that again. They were really, really good. I loved how hard they skated with the 5-0 lead. They could have taken the pressure off. They didn't. By the way, if you want a little preview, a little teaser of tonight's Sharks game, all you got to do is check out the podcast when it goes up, because we did talk to Dan Rusinowski earlier today at 3:30, and that'll be up on the podcast. 888-957-9570. Your calls, NFL schedule, more of it right around the corner. Got a really good question here on Twitter from a person that calls themselves Cat. Damon, how come you didn't ask Steve Kerr about Barkley's comments on the Warriors' defense last night? Before the game, when he was trying to predict what we might see, he expected, Charles Barkley was like, I expect an awful lot of points at Oracle Arena tonight, and neither team is a good defensive team. Again, Charles has his talking points that trump the reality that is one he refuses to acknowledge about the Golden State Warriors, who pretty much by any and all metrics were among the best, if not the best, team in the NBA defensively this season. But Charles is not going to let a few statistics get in the way of his scripted talking point. So that's why he continued to say that. And the reason why I don't ask Steve Kerr about what Charles Barkley had to say is because Charles Barkley has so thoroughly disqualified himself from a reasonable, tangible, valuable Warrior opinion that I'm not wasting any time on what Chuck has to say, and I'm certainly not wasting any time with Steve Kerr talking about what Chuck's completely pre-produced and picked by a producer opinion because it keeps trending on Twitter of the Golden State Warriors is. Charles has disqualified himself. Not from any and all basketball conversations, but any and all basketball conversations about the Golden State Warriors. A lot of people want to talk NFL draft, but not nearly as many as people want to talk NFL schedule. These are just names and dates. All we have is the sequence of these games that are going to be in. A couple of facts, though, that I think you'll be happy to hear if you are a Raider fan. We had one guy saying just last segment when he gave us a call that, hey, man, the Raiders, they got to go to the East Coast again and again and again. Well, they're playing the AFC East. That's their rotation. But the good news is there are only three 10 a.m. starts all season long for the Raiders. That's good. That's good. It's tough to wake up early on the East when you're a West Coast team having traveled there. Only three 10 a.m. starts for the Raiders. The Raiders have three Sunday night football games, one Monday night football game, and the bye week becomes before Mexico City, which you'd think, oh, Raiders, Patriots, Mexico City, you're going to put that in primetime, right? Wrong. It's an afternoon game. It's a 1:25 kick against the Patriots at Mexico City, which is good news because you won't have two teams tripping over themselves to race to the airport to be the first to customs because the other team has to wait about another hour and you're looking to fly out of Mexico City around 3 o'clock in the morning. It'll be a lot easier to do that in a normal nighttime hour than an exacerbated overnight hour. Penske Auto Sales text line, best of the day, without a doubt. If you think about it, Damon, Charles Barkley is the Kellyanne Conway of the NBA. It's just a bunch of alternative facts. Perfect. Bravo. Touche. James in Palo Alto. James, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Damon. Yeah. I find your show super interesting, and you're a very engaging host, so thanks for doing that.
What do you got? We don't have anything. Sorry, Alex. The phone's not working. James, no, excuse me. That was James in Palo Alto. This is Alex in Oakland. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Damon. What's up, man? I wanted to put you up on game about that story you said a little while ago about the bouginess. I wanted to put you up on game with that. And since you're cool with Fife Dog, the game is to be sold, not told. So I'm going to give it to you for free because you're cool with Fife. So what bougie means is, bougie is what black people call each other. It's the equivalency of white people saying you're uppity. That's what bougie means.
Right. But again, so couldn't we then accuse...
It's not offensive at all.
No, but how come Migos culturally appropriated that word if it's such a white... You know, it's just... Don't you think that it's absolutely ridiculous when the whole point is they've canceled badminton and bougie and the word that they're playing off of is bad, not even bougie?
It's more than ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. It's once again somebody with way too much time on their hands. That's basically what it is.
It sure is.
And one more thing. As far as the Raiders schedule goes, I'm a Raider fan, but I'm going to tell you in the words of George Bush, fool me once. Fool me twice, I can't be fooled again. if they play a game in Las Vegas, that is it. I'm going to root for my home state team like I never rooted for them ever.
There you go. That's usually how sports works. There's usually a geographical tie to it. Thank you very much. Outstanding call when it's all said and done. Alex with a little bougie breakdown. You know, we do appreciate it. Thank you very much. How can you be mad at cultural misappropriation for something that is wordplay, but it's not wordplay on the word that you think is sensitive?
That's the problem.
Badminton. Badminton is not cultural misappropriation. God. College kids, the worst. Here's the thing. Remember, Gianna, when our age group went to college, we went to college to make sure we pretty much dabbled in no political correctness. Like our whole 4 years. This is the last time we can get away with party murder.
Right.
This is the last time we can totally screw up in our lives if we want to, because really the official scorecard against you starts after college, not in college.
Oh yeah, like when the quote unquote adulting starts, that is post college. You didn't worry about that those 4 years.
Really? You're in your 20s. Stop being such a stuck up prude about everything and learn how to relax a little.
It's a shame.
Damn kids. The Raiders and 49ers will both share one thing in common. They'll both be ending their seasons in Los Angeles. The 49ers, we talked about how a 10 a.m. game isn't necessarily good for you for a West Coast team. The Niners have five 10 a.m. games. Four of their first six are on the road. Have fun with that, Shanahan. And is this important? Indiana's on top of Cleveland right now, 77-59. They're up big, big mid-third quarter. Let's go to Raider Ray in the North Bay. Raider Ray, you're on 95.7 The Game.
How are we doing, DB?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, I just got to say, first off, you nailed that, Charles Barkley. I was sitting there laughing in traffic, man. You got that down.
Oh, thank you, Raider Ray.
But I got to say, I'm not going to call in and shed some tears about the old Raider plane catching more miles this year again. I'm not going to cry about it because I'm going to look at the teams and I'm going to look at the competition out there. The only games I'm threatened by, I think, out there is maybe a little Miami and a little bit of Redskins up there. They're looking like they're trying to rise up. But I'm not worried about the Bills. That's going to be a mess. I'm not worried about opening up with the broken leg game, Mariota versus Carr. I'm more concerned.
That's pretty good, by the way. Broken leg game is my. I think that's how we position that for week one next year.
I think it was first regular game for both of them. Let's make them face each other. Who has the better heel process? But honestly, I'm more worried about our home team. I'm worried about playing at home with the fans and what's going on with all the stuff over our head. I do think that's going to hurt us over the next 3 years. That seems to be all anybody wants to talk about. We are the Oakland Raiders. There's no Vegas. And I'm telling you, 3 years, half these kids, they're going to be grown up and, you know, on some other bandwagon by the time we move to Vegas.
Right. But, well, here's the deal, though, Raider Ray. You know, the Raiders went out of their way to say, we are not the Las Vegas Raiders until we make the move, and then make the announcement today that their draft party is going to be under the Welcome to Las Vegas sign, even though technically they're at least 2 or 3 years away from going. It is the single worst way to introduce your brand new players to your fans. You are putting that young drafted player in as awkward a PR position as they're going to be in their career in the first moment of their career.
Absolutely. And we're at the peak right now. We need to set everything up for that team to be successful. Worst timing ever. And that's kind of what owners seem to do. They're a little they're disengaged. They're just not there. But let's talk about next week. Are you going to be out at the party at Fox Theater? Am I going to be able to rub elbows with you?
What, is this the Raider draft party?
Yeah, you got to come out to it.
Probably not, only because I think we're actually flipping some shows around that day. And maybe I will. I love the Fox Theater. I'll tell you that. That's a pretty good draw right there. Maybe I will. And I'll come there. And if any Raiders people are there, I can just ask, why would you do this in an Oakland landmark? You hate Oakland. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Raider Ray. Dave in Petaluma. Dave, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, hey there, Damon. Thanks for taking the call. I want to give you my perspective and get your thoughts here a little bit. So, you know, that last caller, he had some good points, and he's been the first Raider fan that actually, in a little while, I've heard that's worried. And I think the Raiders need to be very worried, because with all the relocation BS going on, it's going to be a distraction. But, you know, my take on last year, I have a little different perspective. So if you look at some of those games, you know, squeaking out, you know, a win against New Orleans, mediocre team, squeaking out an overtime win against Tampa Bay. Yeah, Tampa Bay, not really too impressed, right?
Well, look, I mean, it's we got to run to break. So what's your point, Dave?
So everyone says that the reason why they lost in the playoffs is they didn't have Derek Carr. The two playoff games that, in my opinion, were playoff games had Derek Carr against Kansas City, and they lost both. So I would be very – I'm very concerned about the Raiders with or without Derek Carr.
Nah. Thank you, Dave. I'm just going to – nah. There is no scenario where they aren't better with Derek Carr, and he played in a blustery condition with a bad hand at Kansas City. It was a bad game for him, but Derek Carr is literally the hope you should be hanging your entire Raider career on. That's it, what you got right now. 888-957. More calls and a little Ricky Williams story after all. It is 420. Yeah, it's real funny. 420 obviously has a huge place in the culture right now, and in other cities is a day they look forward to all year to express themselves about how they feel about the whole marijuana phenomenon. You know what we call 420 in San Francisco?
Every day.
Thursday.
Thursday.
It's Thursday. It's Thursday here. And when I was in high school, it started with Bob Marley and the Wailers, and then it went to this. I absolutely love Peter Tosh. I did. I love Peter Tosh. This is a great song. If you legalize it, I will advertise it. Ricky Williams was the poster boy for marijuana in the NFL for a very, very long time. One of the single best sports jokes I've ever heard in my life is that it wasn't marijuana that ruined Ricky Williams' career. It was drug testing that ruined Ricky Williams' career, because that guy was a freight train high as a kite. And would you believe it that it was really marijuana that ran Ricky Williams out of... Turn this on. This is my favorite part of the song.
Legalize it, yeah. Yeah, that's the best thing you can do.
Oh, we already passed the doctors. No, here. Doctor smoke it.
Nurse smoke it. Judges smoke it.
Judges smoke it. Even the lawyer, too. Thank you. You better fade that down before I get accused of cultural misappropriation by that chick at American University. Who's probably deeply offended that I called her chick.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
She might be listening.
So Ricky Williams, who is now retired, is in Colorado. He is there for the 420 games. And what he hopes to do, I guess, is team up with a guy who is named Jim McAlpine, and he's looking to expand his cannabis-related ventures with a new gym in San Francisco called the Power Plant. The Power Plant will be just like any other gym, really. You're going to have your cardio equipment on one side. On the other side is going to be weights, and the facility will have lockers and showers and everything that you're going to need to get ready before or after a workout. And they're also going to have a place where you can get totally zooted before you go work out. Each treat that they'll be offering at these gyms, if you're interested in like a tranquil feeling before you get on a stationary bike, you can have that. If you're looking to get a little more amped up before you go lift some heavy weights, you can do that. But this is the first incorporation of working out in a dispensary,
yeah,
I think we've ever seen. The idea of merging physical fitness and mental health isn't unorthodox, and that's what Ricky Williams says. He says that this is a key part of his own mental health. He also says, look, it's got some drawbacks, and it can definitely sidetrack what your goals of the day are, shall we say. But he says this is all about fitness and wellness, and this affects your mind and your body and your soul. And Ricky got all down the yogi path, He got all yoga. Like Ricky Williams, like ran away to, you know, take peyote in the desert and learn how to breathe out his third eyelid. He's one of those guys.
He wants
to be a, I guess, yeah, a yogi, a shaman,
you know?
A medicine man one day.
So don't you want to participate in that after the workout? It just seems like getting high before the workout is a little bit counterproductive, right?
The only thing I can guarantee you is if I got high before I got on a stair stepper and the pull point was I was going to go 50 flights, I'm probably calling it a day at about 20.
Sounds like this could be a little bit dangerous.
What about cotton mouth, too? That's got to be an issue.
Is that an issue?
Well, I guess if they're edibles, do you get cotton mouth edible? I don't even know about that, really.
I don't know.
By the way, we have four people confirming in the other room, just nodding their heads.
Nodding their heads and yes.
I'll go ahead and protect their identities just because we're classy like that over here.
So what? Okay. Yeah.
So to sum up.
I want to ask questions.
To sum up, let's get back to the NFL schedule, even though this power plant story is officially funny. The Raiders are going to get on an airplane. And they're going to go to the East Coast, but the good news is they've only got three 10 a.m. starts. The 49ers, meanwhile, have five 10 a.m. starts, and four of their first six games are out on the road. The bye week for the Raiders comes before they travel to Mexico City. That's a Sunday afternoon game, even though it's in Mexico City. It is not going to be hard to travel back home from, which I guess that's good. They only have one Monday night football game, three Sunday night games, though, for the Raiders. So there will be an awful lot of attention, you know, on this team that's got a lot of big expectations. And, you know, the whole relocation thing is going to make them a big storyline all year long. By the way, from the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, it just says, and I didn't even identify this person as even being in the room. I didn't say Derek Papa was in there, but the text line does say Derek Papa is for sure a stoner. All I can tell
they're
you.
They're making that assumption.
All I can tell you is that the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Oh, man. And just a warning on behalf of the crew here at 95.7 The Game. This just came out of nowhere. This is a public service announcement. Don't mess with hash butter. Everyone got that?
Oh, yeah.
You write that down?
Hash butter. Okay.
I can't believe it's not hash butter.
Oy, oy, oy!
Coming up at 6:15, Chris Townsend's got you. There is a guy pitching for the Oakland A's tonight who has not pitched in Major League Baseball since, what, 2010? Okay. Good luck with that. I really wish you the very best of luck with that. Cesar Valdez is your starting pitcher tonight. He takes on James Paxton, who hasn't allowed a run this year, 21 innings. Valdez is making his first start in the big leagues since 2010. And before we give you the full breakdown profile and set you up for expectations, this feels very much like a fill-in starter. Unless he has some sort of incredible performance, I can't imagine he's going to work his way into a rotation that's even now down a Kendall Graveman. But we'll see. We'll see. Damon, I've been working out for 20 years. It helps me focus. However, there is a catch. You have to smoke and go right in. If you smoke and wait about 30 minutes, you ain't going to be working out. You're right. You're probably going to be ordering a pizza, which last time I checked is like the opposite of working out that
day.
All I can tell you is that a lot of people, when it comes to recovery, when it comes to treating yourself, Arnold Schwarzenegger was a huge proponent of a little wacky tobacky when it was all said and done. You go and watch Pumped Up, the interview about Arnold being named Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, he's getting high right on film. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I remember the first time. Whoa. Before we have a memory lane, we have an NBA playoff update. The Cleveland Cavaliers are down 10 late in the third quarter in Indianapolis. It is 87-77 Pacers. Still a long way to go. A very long way to go. The Bucks are playing the Toronto Raptors and leading 48-17. This game is in the second quarter. 48-17. They're up 31 in the second quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo is really good.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess around with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Not on 420 anyways. We do have one more segment left. We will make it worth your while. As a matter of fact, since today is 420, we thought we would get into a topic that has created an awful lot of draft value. Marijuana. As in the NFL. Was your GM a genius? Or was he just the one dude in the room that wasn't offended by that? It's coming up on 95.7 The Game. So on a day where we mix 420, NFL schedule release, when we're all definitely looking forward to the A's game that's coming up tonight, but really, the Sharks playoff game that's coming up tonight, I have no idea what to expect, and that's what makes sports an awful lot of fun, when it's a gots-to-have-it game, and you have no idea if you're going to get it or not. I've never, ever, ever had less of a handicap on what might happen in a turning game than I have on tonight. So let her rip. Go Sharks.
Go Sharks.
Lots of scars. No Donskoy. But I'd love to see a win. And I know a lot of you would too. Let's hope it happens. We have an awful lot of NFL schedule. I mean, it's not even time to really talk about it. You can look at it yourself when you get home. If I listed all of the teams to you right now that the Raiders are playing in the order in which they were playing them, it's not like you're going to retain who they're playing in week six. So it's out there. You can look at it and you can dream about it when you get home tonight. Although I'm sure tomorrow we'll go through it and we'll WL. We will get to a little preseason prediction tomorrow. We don't really have enough time today. Chris Townsend's coming up at 6:15 with the A's dugout show after all. But since we do have, like I said, the scent of football and marijuana in the air. Do you realize that marijuana has basically cranked out some of the best value in the history of the NFL draft? Like, you can thank the sticky icky more than you can your great perceptive general manager, because the pick fell to him. It was one of those, who's the one guy in the room was cool enough to say, I don't care, draft him. In a very good story written by Christian DeAndre, SB Nation. He wrote that hours before the 2016 NFL draft started, potential number one overall pick Laremy Tunsil, now infamous for the video of him smoking from a gas mask, hit his Twitter timeline. Suddenly, one of the draft's top players' prospects dwindled. He slipped through the top 10 picks before landing in the 14th spot with the Miami Dolphins. The difference between the contract he signed and the one that Jared Goff signed was a $17.5 million difference. It's pretty darn significant. So that could turn out to be one hell of a deal for the Dolphins, though. And it wouldn't be the first time a little weed helped an NFL team make out like a bandit in the NFL draft, with three huge examples. It all starts with the face of marijuana rumor slipping, yet Hall of Fame number potential. It all starts and ends with Randy Moss. It really does. Character issues cost him throughout the early stages of his career. Misdemeanor battery charges in high school kept him from out of Notre Dame. Then he wound up at Florida State, but a positive drug test for marijuana violated his probation, and he would end up at Marshall, where he went bonkers. He was supposed to be a top three pick. He had 58 touchdowns in two seasons, Gianna. 58 touchdowns in two seasons? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But he went 20th to the Vikings. 19 teams passed on a future Hall of Fame, tangibles, measurables, any kind of ubbles, maybe edibles was a problem. But this guy had it all, and he still slipped to the Vikings at 20. He missed the combine, and the rumor was is that he didn't want to take another drug test because he was back on the tobacco. Yeah, it didn't really matter. another great example of marijuana creating draft value. Slated to be a top five pick out of the U, but failed a marijuana test at that year's combine. Had every team in the world backing away from Warren Sapp. He didn't just fail a weed test that year, but he tested positive for marijuana and cocaine throughout multiple times in his college career. At least that's what he started telling everyone in the interest of coming clean. And basically, you had teams running away from a guy who could have been the number one pick in the draft. The Buccaneers got him at 12. He turned into a 7-time Pro Bowler, a 6-time All-Pro, and was in the middle of the defense that won the Super Bowl. If you thought that marijuana was going to bring Warren Sapp down throughout his career, you were wrong. If you had your money on hookers bringing Warren Sapp down after he retired, well, cash in that ticket, you're a winner. By the way, maximum effort on today's show, Damon. That's from Justin. Well, thank you very much, Justin. Appreciate you weighing in on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. One of the all-time, you got to be kidding me, falls for rumors of, oh no, he liked to party? Dan Marino. Dan Marino put up legendary numbers at Pittsburgh. He was also a legendary party boy. The Dolphins at 27. Get one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And the rumor about Dan wasn't just the weed, it was the cocaine. And Miami drafted him. And he was fine. He was fine. He never tested positive for drugs once. You know, guys grow up when they graduate. Girls grow up when they graduate. When you step into adulthood, some people do that with aplomb. You know, the legends aren't alone. You got Cardinals defensive back, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. You know, he basically slipped to the third round in 2013, and he's one of the best secondary players in all of football. Janoris Jenkins, he slid to 39. They were worried about his weed. He got kicked out of Florida State because of it. Chiefs linebacker Justin Houston, a four-time Pro Bowler who became a bargain in the third round after he tested positive for weed in 2011. You watch Chiefs play, you tell me anybody jumps off the screen more than Justin Houston. The guy's a beast. Look, if a little marijuana eroded all your skill sets, this program wouldn't have been as good as it was today. Probably wouldn't have been as produced as well as it was today, nor board-opt. Elena just shrugs. She's like, I don't know. Gianna, you're a good girl. You don't do anything like that anymore.
Anymore. I can count on one hand, Damon.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising because, you know, you grew up in Southern California.
Yeah, I know.
And you were a party girl who got thrown out of Arizona State because you partied so hard.
Not a party girl. Actually, that story is kind of true.
You do. You did flunk out of Arizona State.
I did not flunk out. I did not flunk out.
That's like saying, I prefer BART to limousines.
My grades were not as good.
That's okay. You turned out to be a solid human being and societal contributor after all. And I think that both Albie, Elena, and I, that would make three of us, can all agree, even though you are a good girl, this is definitely the most amount of cleavage you've ever brought into work with you in your entire life. We cannot help but notice and wanted to put that on the record. So thank you very much for that. And thank you to Dan Ruzanowski, to David Forst, to Steve Kerr, who was phenomenal. Thank you, Gianna, and to the cleavage, and to the 420, and to everyone involved in today's show. Chris Townsend coming up next on 95.7 The Game. And remember, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.